You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soul to Soul. It's wonderful to be here live from our studio in Johannesburg. And we look forward to spending a very interesting and fascinating hour together, a little bit short of an hour. It's 1:11 on this Wednesday afternoon. You're welcome to send us your thoughts or your questions or reflections on anything Jewish. Send us on at Chai FM. You can SMS us 34519. Send us an email on at chaifm.com or WhatsApp us 0621482374. Today is a very important day in the Jewish calendar. Today is Rosh Chodesh Elul. That's the first day of the month of Elul. Elul is a important month. It is a little bit of a scary month because it is the lead up to Yom HaDin, the great and awesome day of judgment of Rosh Hashanah, which begins the Seres Yomei Tshuva and ends with Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur, exactly in 40 days' time. So the reason why Rosh Chodesh El is significant is because it's on this day, historically, that Moses went up the mountain for the third time. We know that Moses on Shavuos, which is the 6th of Sivan, went up the mountain for the first time to receive the Torah. The Jewish people stood at Mount Sinai. They heard the first two of the Ten Commandments. Each time they heard a commandment, so their souls were blown out of their bodies. They had to be restored back into their bodies. Happened the first time, Anuchi Hashem Elokecha. Happened the second time. And then they said to Moses, okay, we get the message over here. This is the real deal. This is the creator of the universe who's speaking to our nation. And we just not able to handle it. The electricity is too powerful. You go up the mountain, receive the Torah from the creator, from God, and you will then teach it to us. And then that's what happened. The people waited at the bottom of the mountain. Moses goes up. And 40 days later, the people have built the calf. Now, obviously, one needs to understand what happened, why, how, what. It's not simply worshipping Avodah Zorah, but rather it's an intermediary. The calculation was wrong. They thought Moshe had died. The Satan had showed them an image of Moshe dead. And so they needed an intermediary. They felt they didn't have the confidence to directly approach Hashem. And they needed some sort of intermediary. And that's what the calf was supposed to represent. However, it was a fatal error and a very big mistake that they made, a big mistake in judgment, and it was calamitous for the Jewish people, and that's Shiva Asa B'Tammuz. So 40 days later, Moses comes down on the 17th of Tammuz, and he breaks the tablets against the calf. He then goes back up for another 40 days and 40 nights to ask again Hashem for forgiveness. Comes down again a second time. He goes back up a third time, Moses. And it's on this day, Rosh Chodesh Elul, the first of Elul, that Moses went up for the third time. And he remains there again for 40 days and 40 nights. He then returns on Yom Kippur, the first Yom Kippur in the Midbar, in the desert. And he tells the people that God has forgiven them for the Chayta Egel, for the sin of the golden calf. And he brings down the second Luchos, the second tablets, on Yom Kippur. So therefore today is the beginning of that process, of forgiveness, of tshuva, of repentance. This is a very, although Hashem is close all the time, if we seek Hashem, we will find Hashem. Hashem's close and He's waiting for us to stretch out our arm and to open our hearts and to try and get close to Him. But in particular at this time, these 40 days, our sages teach us a time when Hashem is particularly close. And they tell us the parable that the king usually is in the palace. And it's not so easy to access the king when he's in the palace. But at this time, Hashem goes out into the field. Dirshu Hashem b'imatzoi. The Navi tells us that seek out Hashem at the time when He can be found. And they explain that these are the days preceding and these days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, that's the time when Hashem is close and where the usual actions of reaching out to Hashem would have a certain effect. It's 10 times stronger now at this time in the month of Elul. So it's an important time of introspection, of analyzing our ways, of thinking about ourselves and our lives and our behavior, and the direction in which we're going and what we're doing in this world. And the idea is it's the spiritual year end. It's the time when we take stock of our situation, of our, of where we're holding spiritually and where we're going. So I just want to discuss with you the beautiful opportunity this time presents to all of us. And I want to make reference to this week's parsha. The beginning of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu starts out by saying it's called Parsha Shoftim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shoftim v'shoitrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha, that you should appoint judges and those individuals that will carry out the law, the enforcers of the law, in all of your gates. And there's an interesting and famous midrash on that first verse in this week's parsha. The midrash, Midrash Rabbah, it's a parsha base if you want to look it up. So the midrash quotes Mishle, quotes Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, the author of Mishle, of Proverbs. And Solomon says, Lech el Namala, go out to the ant. Atzel, who seems to be, he says, you lazy individual, go out to the ant. Ra'a darachecha, and see its ways, v'chikem, and become wise. So Shlomo says, be wise and learn from the tiny little ant. Asher ein la shoiter o moishel, the ant doesn't have any policeman or soldier standing over it and supervising it and making it go and do what it does. Takin b'kaitz lachma, igra b'katzir maichla. So the ant is always very busy and full of activity. And in summer, the ant is saving up for winter. The ant is getting everything ready so it could make it through and survive the winter. So Shlomo HaMelech says, go and learn from the ant. And the ant is constantly doing what it needs to do. And we as human beings also need to learn from that and fulfill our job and mission in this world. However, it seems to be a little bit of an unfair comparison, because the ant is built that way. It's the natural instinct of the ant to look for food, to save the food in summer for winter, to preserve itself. So we as human beings are a little bit more complicated than an ant. We have all sorts of agendas and different parts of us pulling us in different directions. And, you know, we're not programmed in our instinct like the ant to go and do what we're supposed to. We have a little bit more to deal with. A little bit of baggage that we all are carrying with us. And, you know, there's lots of different aspects of our being that are pulling us in different directions. So how could it be then that we compared to the ant, we should go learn from that? It seems to be an unfair comparison that Shlomo HaMelech is making. So in order to understand what Shlomo is really saying, let's have a look at a famous Gemara in Nida. We're going to look at that Gemara when we come back, shortly after this ad break.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We asked an interesting question that the Midrash quotes Mishle and compares the and gives us Musa, actually gives us rebuke that we should learn from an ant. But before we answer that question and we get into that, I actually wanted to mention that today, the first of Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, historically is very significant because it's the day that Moses went up, as we described, for 40 days and returned on Yom Kippur. But today is also significant because it's on this day in 1942 that the ghetto of Mir in Poland, so near Lithuania, it was, you know, sometimes part of Poland, sometimes part of Lithuania. It was on this day that the ghetto of Mir was liquidated by the Nazis. Mir was always a center of Jewish scholarship in pre-war Europe, the site of the famed Mir Yeshiva that was founded in 1815. Jews began to settle in Mir in the 17th century, and by the end of the 19th century, Jews comprised of over 60% of the town's population. The Germans captured Mir in 1941 and executed large numbers of Jews. By May 42, the remaining Jews were confined to an ancient fortress in the city, and they were murdered. As for the students and staff of the Mir Yeshiva, they had fled to Lithuania with the fall of Poland in 1939. There they were able to obtain visas from the Japanese consul in Lithuania, very famous person, a great hero of World War II, Sugihara, was the head of the Japanese consul in Lithuania, and he issued visas to the members of the yeshiva and many other hundreds of refugees that were in Lithuania. And the students of the yeshiva made a miraculous escape across Siberia by train, arriving in Shanghai, where they spent the remainder of the war years. After the war, new Mir yeshivas were established in New York and Jerusalem, which today the Mir yeshiva in Jerusalem is the largest yeshiva in the world, with over 5,000 students. So today is the anniversary of the liquidation of the ghetto in Mir in 1942. But it's interesting that although the Nazis destroyed the town of Mir, they didn't destroy what Mir represents. And today we see the Mir yeshiva, as mentioned, is the largest yeshiva in the world, thriving and strong. And the lessons learnt from the great Mir yeshiva from even before the war are still a very big part of the Jewish people. And that's a part of what I'm sharing with you today. The ideas that I am sharing, which we will continue with, are, I heard from Rabbi Yosef Elefant, who's a Rebbe in Mir Yeshiva, and much of it comes from Rabbi Yerucham, the great Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, who survived with the Yeshiva in Shanghai, and he helped rebuild Mir both in New York and in Jerusalem after the war. So the Torah of Mir lives on, even if the town was destroyed by the Nazis in 1942. So part of the Torah of Mir is this question that I raised earlier. How could it be that King Solomon compares us to the ant? The ant's instinct is to do what it's supposed to, and we human beings have a little bit more to our makeup, and that's not necessarily our instinct at first glance. So in order to answer this, Rabbi Elefant brings the Gemara from Nida. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Nida, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Sorry, Daf Mem Amud Beis. And the Gemara, that is Lamed Amud Beis, as originally said. Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara says the following, that when a infant is in the womb and it's waiting to be born, so that infant, says the Gemara, near Daluklo al Rosho, that there's a candle burning at its head, and that infant sees from the one end of the world to the other end of the world. In other words, that's referring to the neshama, to the soul of the infant. And as we know, that when there's an infant that's being a fetus within, being held by the mother, so that already is a human being and a soul, and that's why abortion is asur, is prohibited from the Torah. Abortion is murder, because already there is a human being. There's an infant that has a soul, which, if God forbid, you eliminate, you're actually murdering that child. So therefore, we're very against abortion, and it's something that should be fought with as much strength as possible. So what happens? You have the little child who has a neshoma, and that neshoma, the child, while the infant is in the womb, can see the entire world, which means that that child has all the spiritual knowledge and wisdom that is necessary to live a successful life. And the Gemara continues and says, "Umelamdim oisoy kol haTorah kulo," and that the neshoma, that infant, is taught the entire Torah while it's in the womb. V'kevan sheba la'avira oilam, and as soon as it emerges into this world and is born, ba malach, an angel comes, v'satro al piv, and the angel touches this infant on its mouth, u'mashachecho kol ha'Torah kulo, and then it forgets everything that it's learnt. So it was taught all the spiritual secrets and all the depths of the universe that a soul needs to know. And the entire Torah, kol ha-Torah kula, is taught to this infant. And then the infant is touched by the lips, and that's that little indentation between our lips and our nose. That's what the Gemara is telling us. That's where it comes from. It's when the malach touches the little infant, and then it forgets everything. So we see that this is the beginnings of every human being before we come into this world. And let's add to that, there's a midrash that Rav Volbi quotes. And Rav Volbi says, the pasuk in Netzavim, the verse in Parshas Netzavim says, Ki karov elecha davar mod, beficha u bilvavcha la'asoysoy. that this matter, the Ramban said, is referring to tshuva. This matter of tshuva is close to you in your heart and in your mouth to do it. V'chilo b'shamayim hi, it's not. So in order to do tshuva, in order to repent, literally it means repentance, but repentance is a horrible word. Tshuva is much more, is much richer. So in order for a person to rectify their ways and to live, to correct themselves on the spiritual pathway. So that's not the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. It's not very hot, far away. It's close to you. It's in your heart and in your lips. It's in your mouth. It's not across the oceans. It's not far away in the heavens. And the Midrash continues to say that this pasuk actually is talking about a person who's lazy. Sheva devarim nemru ba'atzil. Somebody who's a lazy person. So that person, the Midrash says that that person, you tell them that their teacher, their rabbi is in town, and the person says, well, I'm too scared, I'm lazy, I'm too scared to go and see him. And he says, well, he's actually in your house, well, I don't want to go downstairs, he's in your room, well, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. So the lazy person doesn't want to apply themselves in order to develop and grow. But the Midrash is saying that we don't even have to go out of ourselves in order to find the right pathway. And in order to have clarity in this world, that it's b'ficha bilvavcha la'asos, is really in our hearts and our minds. In other words, the Midrash is saying that the natural state of a human being, the truth and the clarity and the spiritual knowledge that the person needs is actually right inside of us, is very close to all of us. And sometimes, and only when we were when the angel touched us did we lose it, but it's there, it's not far away, it's easy to access, and it's very achievable. So we see from here two very interesting things. We see from this Gemara and this Midrash, firstly, is that we born from the highest spiritual level. We were all on a very high spiritual level until we came into this world, and after we born, it's still there, it's not far away, it's very accessible to all of us. So it's in our mouth and in our hearts to do it. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. He's saying that just as the ant fulfills its duties instinctually and in a natural way, it's part of the teva, of the nature of the ant, so it's also part of the teva. It's also part of the nature of a human being to fulfill our purpose and our function. And it's not far away from us. We just need to overcome our basic laziness, our atzlus, and then we could break through and access the inner essence of a human being, which is really the neshama, which is the soul. And that soul sees the world, misofa olam ad sofo, the entire world. We have clarity and understanding, and we have the ability to do that. So, you know, usually we understand that, well, you know what, I'm not doing so well spiritually, I'm not holding in a good position. You know, I've gone far away. So that really is not our natural state. Our natural state as a human being is ner al rosho, is that we can see misofa olam ad sofo, from one end of the world to the other. And the shoftim v'shoitrim, the judges and the enforcers of the law, they are designed to get us back to our natural state, to get us back to who we are. And that's what the Gemara says, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Gedoila ha-tshuva. How great is tshuva? Shemagas ad kise ha-kavod. Because tshuva reaches the kise ha-kavod. It reaches actually the divine throne of glory. In other words, tshuva, the greatness of tshuva is that the word tshuva means shuv. Shuv in Hebrew is to return. So it means that we're returning back to our natural state of spiritual greatness. Tshuva reaches, it helps us reach the kisei hakavod from where we came, which is our natural disposition until before we came into this world. And when we come into this world, unfortunately, we get corrupted and we get influenced by all sorts of things that pulls us away from our essence. Tshuva means going back to that essence and leading us back to our former position of greatness, back to the kisei hakavod. In fact, the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says about our sages, about our avos and imaos. The avos and imaos, the patriarchs and matriarchs who are the founders of the Jewish people. Avraham and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Those seven spiritual giants, those seven spiritual powerhouses, which really were the trailblazers and the foundation of the Jewish people. The Gemara says about them that they were like horses running through the marsh. In other words, they never stood still. In fact, the Talmud doesn't say that much about the Avos and Imas, but it says that they were like horses running through the marshes. In other words, they never stood still. They were focused on their mission, and they were driven to fulfill that mission. And they were able to overcome the inertia of the material physical world. As we know, the natural state of every human being, once the soul gets locked into the body when we're born, so we, as we've been saying, the soul is already with the body at the time when the fetus is of gestation, and when the fetus is in the womb, the soul is there, but the soul is still connected to the spiritual source and sees the entire world. When a child is born, the soul then loses that attachment and has to recreate it, refind it in its life in this world. But And that's our job. That's our mission over here, is to connect to the soul, is to be in touch with our soul, and is to be able to then overcome the inertia of the material physical world and achieve the spiritual goals for which we were created. So that's why the Avos and Imas are described as horses running through the marshland, because they were focused on their mission and they were able to easily shed the limitations of this physical existence, and with inspiration and with drive and with what we call alacrity is rizus, they were focused on their goal and they headed directly towards that goal. Most of us, however, are stuck in the marshland, and we stuck in the mud, and we don't know which direction we're going in, and we, you know, find it difficult to lift our feet and move forward because it's so heavy and because it's so hard. And we get lost. We get lost in the darkness of the marsh. And our goal is to emulate the unbelievable giants who were the patriarchs and matriarchs of the Jewish people, who were able to, the trailblazers, show us how it's done, and to work through this physical world in order to achieve, to get to our spiritual goal and spiritual destination. So these are two very important points that we should be thinking about now that we're in Elul, now that this process of tshuva is beginning, and it's an important opportunity for all of us to do that spiritual accounting. The first point is that we know what direction we're going in. We know that our nature is really pure. Our essence is pure, and our instinct is spirituality, is our neshama, and therefore all we need to do is to shed the inertia of the material world and the yoke of physical limitation that comes with life and existence in this material world. And then we could achieve our purpose there, because ki karov alecha davamod, it's very close to us. It's not out of reach. It's very much within reach. So we're not saying that tshuva is easy. Tshuva is not easy. That's why we have an entire month of Elul to work on it. We have a series of Tshuva. These 40 days are, you know, it doesn't come easily, but it's not far away. Although it's difficult, it's near. It's accessible. It's within the reach of each and every one of us. And it's not like we need to invent new tricks and new innovative ideas in order to change ourselves and grow. That it's not far off and, you know, something that we have to bring from a distant place, but rather it's very close to us. Beficha ubilvavacha la soisoi. It's in our mouth and it's in our hearts to do it. It's very, very close to us and very near to us. So that's the first important point that we're making, that the opportunity to develop and grow spiritually requires us to peel away the layers, those external layers, the thick skin that surrounds us from being in this material world. You know, it's like a rhinoceros. If you see a rhino and you shoot a rhino, not that you would want to do such a thing. Unfortunately, rhino poaching is a big problem now in Southern Africa, and we have to spend millions of rands every year to protect our rhino. which is so an important thing to do. So if a poacher shoots a rhino, unless it hits it in the right place, or unless it's got a very, very heavy caliber bullet, it's not going to kill it, because the rhino's got a very thick skin that protects it. That's its armor plating. So we too, as human beings, have this very thick external skin of tuma, which prevents us from accessing our inner core of spirituality. And we need to learn to break through that external shell and access our essence and our neshama, our soul. So that's the first thing that we're learning today together. That is that we know where we're going. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We are trying to reinvent ourselves, our essence. That's our inner self. That's our core. And the second point we're making is that when we do this cheshbon hanefesh, the cheshbon hanefesh is the spiritual accounting that we're all supposed to be doing at this time. You know, as there's a financial year end, there's a spiritual year end, and that is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And while, so it's important, you know, a business that doesn't do its books and doesn't know what's going on financially is likely to fail. So likewise, we as spiritual beings, unless we are looking at ourselves and looking at our lives and analyzing our behavior and the direction in which we're going, most likely we won't succeed. Most likely we're going to get lost in the marsh and not fulfill our purpose. So the cheshbon hanefesh we're doing now in Elul is now we're describing how to do that. Ki karov eilecha davar bo. It's very close to us. As I said, the Ramban said that's to do with tshuva. Is that we shouldn't be looking. The way we should be approaching it is that we have these tremendous natural talents and abilities. Our innate nature is pure and is pristine and is holy. And the cheshbon hanefesh is not that, you know, maybe I have fulfilled those one or two small things that I've demanded of myself, you know, through the year. The cheshbon hanefesh needs to be a much bigger global view of who I am and where I'm going, and that I have this essence, this pristine essence, which is covered over with layers of inertia and of impurity from our existence in this physical world. And the cheshbon hanefesh needs to be, our spiritual accounting needs to be that, how true am I to my essence? How in touch am I with my soul? How does spirituality impact on me and my life? Where am I going? What's my direction? Am I just giving all my life force and energy that God blesses me with to accumulate material objects and material wealth? Or am I using that life force in order to develop myself spiritually and to grow? Am I returning to my source, and am I in touch with the Kisei HaKavod? So that's the cheshbon hanefesh that we all should be making in Elul, and that's the kind of thinking we should be working on at this time. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Adventures in Jewish History with Rabbi Danny Sackstein.
We're discussing this powerful opportunity Hashem presents us all with, and that is the month of Elul and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah and ending in Yom Kippur. And we've been discussing how the Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, describes a human being as tells us we should learn from the ant. And because the ant goes about its business without having any supervisors or soldiers forcing it to do so. But we need shoftim v'shoitrin, as Moshe Rabbeinu says at the beginning of the parsha, of this week's parsha, shoftim v'shoitrin titen lacha, that you should place judges and enforcers of the law within your cities. So why is that a fair comparison? Because really our essence is, our nature is pure, holy, and spiritual. As the Gemara Nida teaches us that a fetus that's inside the womb has absolute spiritual clarity and sees from one world to the other, one end of the world to the other. In other words, knows exactly what this world is about and what our mission as human beings is supposed to be in this world. We forget it when we're born, but our job is to return back to that essence. And that is what tshuva is. Tshuva is not implementing these new fancy tricks and moves and ideas. Tshuva is actually peeling away the layers and that thick coating and the thick dust that builds up around our neshama from our indulging in the pleasures of this physical world and the distractions of the physical world. Tshuva means breaking through that shell, wiping away that dust, and once again accessing the core of a human being, which is the neshama, which is the soul. And that's why the Gemara says, tshuva magas ad kisei hakavod, that tshuva helps one reach the kisei hakavod, the throne of glory, the highest place in the heavens, because that's where we come from. That's our essence, and that's really who we are. So what are the shoftim v'shoitrim that help us get there? What are these judges and these enforcers of the law that enable us to achieve this spiritual greatness, to get back to our essence? Rav Yerucham Lubavitz, who was the great Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva. So as I mentioned earlier, today is the anniversary of the liquidation of the ghetto in Mir in 1942. But Mir lives on with his students around the world, in the United States, in Jerusalem, with over 5,000 students. The Mir lives on with the Torah that we learn and that we share from the great people who were in Mir Yeshiva. So Rav Yerucham Lubavitz was one of those great people. And he explains and he says that, what are the shoftim v'shoitrim? What are our judges and enforcers of the law that we have? He explains and he says, that's Musa, that we need to learn Musa. Now, Musa means character development. There was a tremendous revolution in the 19th century in Lithuania, under the leadership of Rav Yisrael Salanter. So most of us South African Jews are Litvaks. I think over 90% of our community has its roots in Lithuania. From the 1880s onwards, there was massive immigration from all of Eastern Europe because of the terrible anti-Semitism and poverty of the Jewish people in Eastern Europe. Over 2 million Jews arrived in the shores of the United States from 1880 to 1920, and many thousands of Jews at that time also came to South Africa, particularly from Lithuania. And they had been affected greatly by this Musa revolution, which was led, spearheaded by Rav Yisrael Salanter. Rav Yisrael Salanter said that it's important that we learn classic works of Musa in order to ensure that we have clarity as to what we're doing and where we're going, that we know what our direction is. Because sometimes, very often, we can lose the trees from the forest. We get lost amongst the trees, and we don't have that global outlook in terms of our spiritual growth and direction. So Musa does that for us. And Rav Yerucham said that the learning Musa is the shoftim v'shoitrim, are the judges and the enforcers. They ensure that we actually do what we are supposed to, and we overcome our physical inertia, and we fulfill our purpose. So when one learns Sforim, like the Maseilas Yesharim, which is the great classic Musa Sefer written by the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzotto, or one learns Chovos HaLevavos, which was written by Rabbeinu Bechaya, these classic Musa Sforim, works of character development, remind us who we are and where we're going and what we're doing in this world, how we're supposed to achieve our spiritual purpose in this world. Because we're not, I can guarantee you that we are not here just to amass some wealth and get physical pleasure and then we leave this world. That's not why God created us. God didn't create us in order to get lost in the marsh over here. We're here in order to grow and develop spiritually, in order to access our essence, our soul, in order to overcome our lower side, our animal instincts, and in order to connect to the Creator, with our soul being dominant in our lives. And the way we do that, of course, is by observing the Torah and mitzvahs, is by keeping God's commandments, the mitzvahs, by learning God's Torah. And that connects us to the source of spiritual life and gives us the direction that we're supposed to be heading in. So Rav Yerucham, the Mashkiach of Mir, says that learning Musa ensures that we're able to achieve these goals. We're able to remain on the correct path and serve Hashem properly. So we strongly recommend that if you learn Musa, and you can go, I'm sure, if you're part of an Orthodox community, that there's shiurim with regards to Musa, with a focus on Musa. And that is the fuel that ensures that we grow and develop and we head in the right direction. So now in Elul, we need to be returning to our natural state and we need to be focusing on what I really am and who what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. And it's a good idea to do that on our own. It's a good idea to look at ourselves and look at our lives and look at the many blessings that Hashem has given us and to use them in the right way. As it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezehu Chacham, who's the wise person? Haloimed Mikol Adam, a person who learns from everybody. And so we look around us and we see different situations and circumstances and events and traumas, and we're supposed to be learning from everything around us. And when we take those circumstances to heart, and we think about ourselves and think about our lives and try and recalculate, like in the GPS, you know, when you go off track, it's recalculating. If we recalculate when we go off the path and we bring ourselves back on the path by being in touch with our essence, so then we're a wise person and then we're doing it ourselves. But all too often, unfortunately, we're not thinking this way and we're in the dark and we're fumbling around and we're so caught up with ourselves and our little issues and our little life and our, you know, ordeals that we face, and we're missing the bigger picture and we're missing the direction in which we need to be going. And then if we don't recalculate, Hashem sometimes recalculates for us, and sometimes Hashem gives us a bit of a clap, and that's always difficult and painful to deal with. It's very, very hard to have to endure those experiences, those circumstances. But it's all in order that we change and shift and move forward and grow. So fortunately, it's the person who does that on their own and is thinking in the right way and is thinking in spiritual terms and is heading in the spiritual direction. So we need to think, how much of this life that Hashem has blessed me with am I, you know, in other words, how much of my capacity and potential am I actually using? 10%, 20%, 50%? Am I really spiritually connected and driven? Am I going in the right direction? And when we start thinking this way, so we are blessed with Siyata Dishmaya, with help from heaven. Hashem directs us and helps us and leads us and opens the way for us. We have to have the desire. We have to take one step, as the Midrash says. Hashem says, if you open a hole the size of a pinhole, I'll open for you the size of a ulam, of a hall. In other words, when we start moving in the right direction and start making an effort, Hashem supports us and guides us and helps us and leads us. And I think, you know, many people in our community, many people listening right now are balei tshuva, people that have returned to a life of Torah and mitzvahs, of observance. And we could all look back, myself included, and see how, although we made a very small effort, Hashem really opens and paves the way for us to return to our essence and to return to our spiritual mission in this world. So we need to use this time wisely, and we need to learn from the Namala, from the ant, and we need to be in touch with our essence and with our instinct, which is a spiritual instinct. And by doing so, and it's not depressing, you know, this time people say, oh, it's so heavy. It's not depressing. It's very inspiring. It's actually very enlightening to be able to think about who I am and where am I going and why did God create me and what's life about, and am I beginning to achieve those goals that Hashem wants me to achieve? When we start thinking that way, it's very uplifting, and it's actually empowering, because we feel like we are, you know, doing something with our lives and heading in the right direction. So these are some of the thoughts we should be having now in the month of Elul. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should all start thinking this way and return to the right path of serving Hashem and be in touch with the essence of our neshama, of our soul, which is our starting point, which is our beginning, which is where we all come from. And may Hashem bless us all on this journey to fulfill our purpose in this world. If we don't think this way, unfortunately, when we get to the other side, we're going to get a very big shock. And we're going to see that we pretty much missed the show. And we lived this life in our little world, and we didn't see the big picture. We didn't see why Hashem gave us life. We didn't see why Hashem invested so much in us and gave us the years of our life. And it's going to be a very shocking and traumatic moment when that happens. So, Mirza Hashem, we should all try and preempt that and think in the right way before it's too late. And in Mirza Hashem, fulfill our essence and, take this opportunity to wish all our listeners a kasiva v'chasima tova. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.